afternoon. I'm a different voice than you're used to, as I, Amy, wife of farmer husband Tony, have hijacked his podcast for the day. So I'd like to introduce you to my guest for the day. He's cute, lovable, capable. What's your name, sir?
Oh, geez. Well, that's Amy. If I get a snort out of her on this episode, it will be considered a success, no matter how bad the rest of it goes. But I am Tony Fast. I farm in Montana.
Whereabouts in Montana? Give me a little more specifics.
Northeast, about 100 miles from North Dakota and about 40 miles to Canada.
And about how far to Fort Peck Lake? Best place ever.
About 45 minutes to the lake.
Yes. About your farm, like location more so, how spread out are you? North, south, east, west, that kind of thing?
About 15 miles north and south and about 30 miles east and west.
That is one giant piece of farm ground.
Yeah. Not connected. That would be too easy.
So how did you end up in farming?
I grew up on the farm and just was in my blood from an early age. I knew that's what I was going to do.
We have on our refrigerator at our house, and I think it's how you close your emails. I don't know, the little signature. What's that quote that you love? It talks about, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I can't think how it goes now either.
You grew up playing with farm equipment, but now you get to in real life. Oh, it's way better than that. I'm not sure. We'll have to figure that out.
It'll come to me.
But anyways, about your farming practices, the crops that you grow, what an average year looks like for you, kind of that type of thing.
Planting usually starts in early April. If we're seeding earlier than that, it's usually not a good thing. Small grains and canola, wheat, peas, they're all seeded in the spring. We do some haying in late June, early July, and then harvest starts end of July through end of September, typically.
What have been some of your favorite crops that you've grown? You like to dabble in different things. Successful, maybe unsuccessful.
We almost tried, I wouldn't say everything, but we've tried a lot of things. Back when corn and beans were high, we tried some corn and beans from growing up on a small grains farm. It was pretty fun to watch a corn crop grow in Montana. We had some decent rains those years, so it actually grew somewhat tall. Not considering, not really tall what Amy would consider, being from south central Nebraska and watching corn grow. But last year we had some industrial hemp on a pilot research program for Montana. We're putting alfalfa in now. What else we got going on? Canola. Canola is kind of a fun crop because that was never a crop we ever grew in our area. It was wheat and summer fallow till I was junior high school age, and then we started getting a lot of these pulse crops in our area, like peas and lentils, and canola came later and so forth.
Some of my favorite thing about the crops we grow is a lot of them, a handful of them, I can go out and literally grab a handful from the bin and bring it in to use in the kitchen and feed our family. So love the flax and the lentils and grinding wheat, and we've made some pasta with the durum. That's, I don't know, my favorite portion of the farming end. So tell us a little bit about how you market your grain, Tony, and what that's like for you as far as getting it to the elevators, to rail, and whatnot.
Marketing is probably one of our downfalls. It's not something we do a whole lot of forward contracting just because our weather's so random. we might drought out, we might not be, you know, be over contract, we don't want to be in that position. If we have quality issues, if we have, you know, low protein wheat and we can't get rid of it or don't want to take the discounts at the time, it's one of those things you kind of just hold off and wait on. I wish we had a way of guaranteeing a crop where we could do more of that marketing. Our elevators are anywhere from 25 miles to 55 miles away from our bins. So logistics get to be quite a bit to deal with just getting multiple trucks on the road when we're really, you know, need to move a lot of grain at once. And, you know, sometimes you have lines at elevators, which is typical for most farmers, but that part gets frustrating too.
When Tony's grandpa quit the ranching side, he was the one that enjoyed that, and they were just strictly farming then. I was excited about the idea of not having to be busy all winter, but then I forgot that we live so far from elevators, so hauling grain is a huge part of our winter activities. As far as, like, one of the things you mentioned was your protein, and just because we know some people that farm down in Kansas with their wheat and whatnot, can you explain what that has to do with the price of grain and how it affects compared to down in Kansas where that's not an issue? Why is that?
There's no reason.
But we deal with it, so.
Yeah. So they're if our protein is low, they will discount our grain, and sometimes it could be up to $2 a bushel, depending on what our scale is. It's one of those things where we have a big crop and we're excited about a good price, and we could have $6 cash bid, but our wheat might be worth $3 at the elevator if it was low protein. And it's one of those things that we didn't used to have to deal with it much, but now it's more of a management to, you know, of our crop and tissue samples and making sure that we hit that protein to get that high protein so we're not losing those discounts.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you face on your farm?
Probably finding consistent work, or, you know, workers to come work on the farm. We are a long ways from town. Bad weather, wet roads, it's at least an hour drive. Good conditions, we can do it in 45 minutes or less. But to get somebody to work from town to come to the farm, it's quite a commitment on their part for time and miles and expenses to get there. That, you know, just having consistent work is a tough part.
It's hard enough that he's had to hire me to help out.
Yeah, Amy ran a combine probably 3/4 of the day's last harvest, if not more, back in the last harvest.
What would you say is your favorite part of farming in the middle of nowhere, farming where we live?
Like season-wise, or?
Just farming in general. What's your number one thing that you love about the location that we are compared to anywhere else in the United States?
We have quite a bit of freedom to just go out and roam around and not worry about being on other people's property and then being mad or any of that kind of stuff. If you want to go explore, you can kind of have at it. And everyone's really good about letting people on their property, like neighbor-wise and stuff. So lots of freedom. Not any close neighbors if you're out doing some, I don't know, shooting clay pigeons or something like that. No one's probably going to hear you.
Yeah. Let's go current events. And like the farm bill now that President Trump has passed. How are these kinds of things going to be affecting you directly?
One of the things is with hemp being deregulated, whatever that means. I don't know if anybody really knows 100% what the whole what that's going to look like yet with the government shutdown and stuff, but hopefully we know soon whether it means we're getting licenses yet or if it's, you know, how much restrictions we're going to have on that. Really don't know much more beyond that on the farm bill to what's going to be, how that's going to affect us, I guess.
Just want to interject, if you hear some little people in the background, we are on our drive to Billings on I-94, so there might be a little girl chitter-chatter going in the background. Sorry. let's see here. Social media. Obviously, you use it. This podcast thing is a new thing, a new hobby, a new form of social media for you. I know you've been a listener of podcasts, but do you use it? That's a yes. How, what are its benefits? Are there any drawbacks, distraction? How does it impact farming locally and nationally?
I think it really ties farming together, and you know, we kind of have, I don't want to call a support group, but like a group of friends or acquaintances that you meet, whether it's through Twitter. You know, that's probably the first one where you actually find groups of people that have the same interests in you, or interests that you have, and interest in me. No, same type of interests. But and it's one of those things where you almost can get access into companies, whether you have a question about a piece of equipment you own, or hey, I'm having this trouble, anyone have this, an answer for me? I think it's been a good thing that way. It definitely is a time sucker. You find yourself on your phone a lot more, kind of checking up on happenings and friends and whatnot. But I think all in all, it's been a good part of agriculture.
As far as your goals for farming, do you have any, like, what would be some of your short-term goals and maybe long-term goals? And then, I'm like, three questions in one here. Maybe your outlook for this next year, what you predict for the agricultural world in the next year. Did you get all that?
Short-term goals. Well, I hope to get the crop planted this spring. It would be nice to get rained out a couple times. I haven't had that happen for a few years now during the planting season, but I guess just a safe and productive next year's crop. You're kind of looking forward to that happening. I know it's going to be here before we realize it.
Do you have any new I'm a farmer's wife, but sometimes I stink with the terminology. Any new techniques or things you're going to try out this year?
Not really. I'm looking at some different hay equipment right now, and really beyond that, that's about it, I guess.
How about
Do you know of anything that's coming up that I'm not thinking of?
Yeah, that's what I was like. I guess you were just trying to figure out this past week or two what's going where, kind of your planting rotations and whatnot.
Yeah, just getting stuff ready for next spring, or for this coming spring, I guess.
Have you looked ahead to what fertilizers and all of that kind of stuff you need to order? You been figuring all that yet, or not to that point yet?
We've got some soil samples that were done last fall, and kind of same as every year, we need a little bit of everything and a lot of nitrogen, so that really hasn't changed much. But yeah, just kind of keeping track on prices of that, I guess. And we should have probably bought a bunch last fall, but that's usually when you don't have any money anyway, so kind of hard to buy fertilizer without money.
How about long-term goals?
Long-term goals. I don't know if I really have an answer for long-term goals for the farm. I probably should have.
Well, it's one of these things we talk about in our marriage, like, we are both believers, believe in God and Jesus Christ, and it's hard, I don't know, sometimes to have a long-term goal when we don't exactly know what God's got in store for us tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that one way to put it?
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's exactly right on following God's lead on where you're going to be in 5 or 10 years, but I guess long-term goal for farm-wise would be still continuing to farm our land and growing it, or stepping back from some acres. I'm not really sure what the balance is yet. It kind of just depends on if we could keep some long-term employees around or interested in, you know, kind of partnering up and, you know, putting a little skin in the game if they were to rent some land and, you know, kind of do that kind of thing with us. Or, you know, a lot of things can change in a year.
Possibilities. Do you have any predictions for how this next year is going to look?
I would sure hope wheat prices are higher.
Every year.
Well, I mean, when they were $10, you really wouldn't expect them higher, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would really be nice to get a little more... a little better marketing prices and all that.
How about the hay game?
Yeah, so hay is new. We used to hay quite a bit. Well, I guess not a lot, but enough for our own herd of cattle. And that was one of those times of year that I really enjoyed. I don't know, I just like hay season. But we are getting back into raising hay, mostly alfalfa for a rotation, and kind of see where that goes. Hopefully we can even, you know, start raising enough where we could put some on trucks and get it out of state, export a little bit of it to surrounding states or beyond.
Good deal. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a few, I guess, rather not farming questions. What, other than spending time with your awesome wife, what would you say is your favorite hobby away from farming?
Probably at the lake, on the boat, or camping with my awesome wife.
Good answer. No. Hunting, you enjoy the
Yep, little hunting. Seems like there's never enough time for hunting.
Yeah. We do enjoy the snow, so getting out in the wintertime and being out there is awesome too. Okay, so we're starting something new. When you interview your buddies that you talk to across the United States, we've put together some rapid fire speed wrench questions. That's what we call them. Tony had to explain to me what a speed wrench is, so...
That probably won't stick.
I don't know.
Any suggestions?
Yeah.
If you have ideas for our rapid-fire questions we're going to call it, you can send us a message on Anchor and tell us what we should call it.
Quick shot, rapid-fire. What was one of you said? On-the-go unload. I didn't like that one. But yeah. Anyways, these questions, I just want the first thing that comes to your mind. Tillage or no tillage?
No-till. Tilling's for a garden.
Red, green, or other?
Mostly red.
Mostly red. Can you, what percentage?
Like 99% is acceptable.
Kenworth, Peterbilt, or other?
We're all Kenworth.
Dodge, Ford, or Chevy? Or there was another category, but Tony said, come on, Amy, we're Americans. We don't have the other category. So, just Dodge, Ford, or Chevy?
I don't know. I've owned all of them, but right now I got a Dodge pickup, and if Amy drives a Ford Expedition.
You're looking
probably
at
a, Dodge. I don't know.
You're looking at a Ford pickup, though.
Yeah.
We like
I'm dreaming of a Ford pickup, maybe.
Yeah. We like the Ford Expedition. We've noticed on our gravel roads that it is 1,000 times quieter than we used to have.
A Yukon.
And
product placement, get us a sponsorship, Ford.
So Ford it is. Favorite farming season, planting or harvest?
Planting.
Pliers in your pouch or pliers in your pocket?
Pouch.
Hat choice. Are you a fan of flat, curved, or the visor?
I'm gonna go with flat bill most days.
I would pay to see you in one of those visors that are like the clear green. That, like, you
like the
see.
Poker dealer ones?
Yeah.
Ugh. Maybe not.
Your favorite lunchbox item?
Oh, man.
I know.
Something from the kitchen of Natty G.
Yeah, a little plug for her.
Check her out on YouTube. In the Kitchen with Natty G. It's our daughter. She loves to do baking stuff, and so she's got a little YouTube channel going.
I thought that your answer for that one would be anything that you don't have to pack yourself. Yeah. Anything that your wife packs for you.
Anything that makes into this lunchbox without me having to do it is a great lunchbox item.
At what time of the day is your lunchbox typically empty when you're in the tractor or combine?
Oh, that all depends. If I'm just in the tractor, it usually doesn't make noon, but if I'm running around, it might be 4 o'clock before I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting hungry.
If you won the lottery, would you still farm?
Yes. With new shiny equipment, probably.
And maybe, like, one last question, because as we're driving down this interstate, this has improved in our marriage, but boy, oh boy, it drove me crazy. You told him to be like, check out that truck. Ooh, ooh, check that one out. He doesn't do that anymore, but
I saw five semis while we were doing this podcast that I had to bite my tongue about.
If you could pick out any brand new semi, describe it to your friends that are listening.
Oh, geez. Probably would be a long wheelbase Kenworth flat top sleepers. Five of them.
Color scheme at all?
I don't know.
Not sure.
I can't decide on color.
Exhaust? Not a big deal?
Not a big deal.
Oh. All right. Thanks for allowing me to hijack this and ask you the questions. And
you think we should, like, explain the middle of nowhere thing, where that comes from? I mean, obviously we live in the middle of nowhere. We've known this forever. But the Wall Street Journal, it was been, I don't know, a year or two ago.
Was it that or the
Washington Post. Yeah. Yep, Washington Post wrote an article where they did a study and they searched for towns over 1,000 population that were the farthest away from 75,000 population.
And major airports, I think, played into a port.
Yeah, something.
Somehow like that. I don't know. You might have to look it up. Middle of nowhere, Washington Post. But anyways.
But then towns, the number 1, 2, and 3 towns from the farthest, you know, that classify as the middle of nowhere, surround our farm. So we're kind of in the middle of those three towns. So figured, heck, let's jump on this middle of nowhere thing like everybody else is, making t-shirts for the Glasgow since they're the number one and whatnot. But I don't know. I think it makes it kind of interesting because we're so far, like, disconnected from the cities. Or they would be so far disconnected from what we're doing.
Yeah, we have some good friends. Shout out to the Elo Bar Ranch, south of us, about 3 hours. And before this middle of nowhere label came out, I really thought that when we were at the north end of their ranch, it's by the south end of Fort Peck Lake, that we were way out there. And then
But they're still 2 hours from Billings.
Yeah, they're only 2 hours from Billings. And so it really put it in perspective to me how far out we are. Yeah, we do have electricity. We do have cell phone service. I don't know. I do buy lots of milk. It's an hour drive to a gallon of milk. I buy lots of milk and keep it in our freezer. But
I bet most of you didn't even know that was possible.
I love our cut across road that we have. We can't take it all year round, but it shaves off a good chunk of time and miles on our drive to town. Yeah. So what's unique about the middle of nowhere? I don't know. It's pretty cool.
It's home. It's where I've lived, grew up in the same farmyard as we're currently living in. So it just doesn't seem any different to me, being that we're actually in the middle of nowhere, but we are.
It was a little bit of a culture shock when Tony and I first met, that is for sure. Being from Nebraska, I thought I knew what rural was when I was out in western Nebraska. Boy, was I wrong. So, anyways, well,
how are we going to end this podcast?
With a high five?
It's kind of hard to do to my guests over the phone.
Yeah. I just, I'll tell you that as a wife of a farmer, it's got its highs and lows. I'm not always the most supportive wife. That is for sure. It's a beautiful thing, though.
Oh, look at that truck. Oh, that is a really nice one.
It is one. Yeah, it is, actually.
Andrew, you would approve.
Oh, golly. Yeah, I do appreciate all you farmers and ranchers out there. Anybody in the ag industry that's out working the land. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know if there's any other job that you can really appreciate this glorious earth that God has given us as much as, you can in the farming and the ranching industry. So it's a hard go, but it's a beautiful thing.
Every day is a new day, a different job, a different challenge. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I think Amy would probably rather have something more that defined schedule, but that's kind of what makes it fun for me.
Yeah.
Make a plan and plan on changing it. That's it. I don't know how often we'll get around to doing these. I was hoping once a week, but I doubt we'll be able to do it that often. Might be twice a month. I don't know. But thanks for listening, and look for another episode
of Farming in the Middle of Nowhere.